on our podcasting, which we're still doing very well on, that podcasting that we actually have it where we are actually live. So it actually plays live radio now. And then I'm able to go back and post it later. So we are posting, we are live right now across the world. Amen. Anybody who joins our cast can come in and listen to us live. We've had a number of people to do so, to join our cast. And then after that, we're able to stop it, and I'm able to go back and post it on our page. Amen. Amen. For God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. So we've been talking about the year of the gap, and we talk about GAP stands for giving, attendance, and participation. And for the last month and a month and a half, we've been on gift, and we've been talking about all the gifts and the different giftings that God has given us, and things that we need to consider, things that we have not considered to be gifts. And today I want to touch for go to another part of gift. This is gifting part five. Gifting part five. And today I want to talk with you from the book of Genesis. We'll start at Genesis 37 and 5. And then I have two other scriptures that I do want to hit for clarity. And then once we do those, then we will pull this all back together. How many of you doing all right in the spirit this morning? Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm just glad that to be alive. But there's someone wanting to be alive today that's not alive now. Amen. Amen. Genesis 37 and 5. Did you find this to be a very familiar story? This is the story of Joseph. And here you find that Joseph here with his brothers, and he's talking, and they are trapped. So Joseph, the story of Joseph goes from about the 37th chapter through about 50, I think it is. And is it 50? I think. Because it's not like flying directly up in there. It's like you'll start talking about it, then they'll go to something else, and they'll come back to him. But this is what I want to read. 37 and 5 and roughly about through 11. And it says this: and Joseph dreamed a dream that he told it his brothers, and they hated him yet no more. How many of you know sometimes there's something that God can tell you that others will hate you for? Sometimes there are things that God can tell you that others will hate you for. And in verse 6 he says this: and he said unto them, hear, I pray ye, this dream which I have dreamed. So now Joseph has his brothers here, and he's telling them what he dreamed. So it's like he's almost, I ain't gonna say he's forcing it on, but he's so excited. How many of you, you have gotten a word from God? How many of you have gotten something from God that you get so excited about that you just wanted others to know? So, you know, I remember when my wife first got pregnant with Madison, and, you know, and here I am, first time father. You know, we waited and we done everything that we know to do, and now Felicia's pregnant. And, you know, the first thing I wanted to do, I wanted to go out and tell everybody. I wanted to go out and you know why? Because I wanted everybody to feel the joy that I was feeling. You know, sometimes when we have people who do things to people, they do them in the detriment, in the sense that they want somebody else to feel how they feel. So like, if I'm upset, then maybe I say something out of character to you because I want you to feel upset. That I say something that I shouldn't say to you because what I want you to feel what I'm feeling. Well, that works in the reverse too sometimes when you're feeling good about something that you want others to know about. It ain't that I'm bragging. It ain't that I'm trying to show that I'm better than somebody. It ain't that, you know, that I have so much more and I'm just so much better than you. But I just want you to feel the joy that I feel because I'm so overwhelmed with what I have is I want to share it. Amen. And, you know, the Bible talks about what my cup running over. And I think about, you know, the goodness of Jesus. And when God has been good to me, what I want to do is what? Share it with somebody else. And in my sharing, sometimes I make enemies. Sometimes in my sharing, sometimes people are not so happy with me. And what we find here. So in verse 7, he says this. He said, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around and made obeisance to my sheaf, meaning that they bowed. And he said to his brother, shall thou not indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dream and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream. Here it is again. Now he's already dreamed the first dream, and he's told them about this dream, and they asked him some questions, and they were about to say here, as he was telling them about this dream, that they was hating him even more. So then he goes on and he says this. And he had dreamed another dream. And he told his brother, and he said, behold, I have dreamed a dream. More, and behold, the sun and the moons and the 11 stars made obsidents to me. And he told his father and his brother, and his father rebuked him, saying unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brother indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee? And his brother envied him, but his father observed the saying. See here, you notice here that now anyway, he comes in not with the first time, but he also has a second dream. And with the second dream, what does he do? He comes in and he tells them about it in his excitement, in his exuberance, and in his love. Do you not know that everybody's not excited for you? As weird as that may sound, as crazy as that may sound, if you in your winning season, somebody else is probably in their losing season. And the truth of the matter is that because you're winning, they're not feeling good about them losing. Instead of them seeing it, say that, you know what, that you're at a point in your life that God is doing some things for you, that should be what? A sign to me that God is still in the blessing business. That should be a sign to me that my breakthrough might be right around the corner, that my healing, that my financial success, that whatever it is that I'm seeking God for may be right around the corner. But yet, many of us don't take it that way. And here we have Joseph. He's a little boy that he's telling his older brothers about dreams that he's having, and aspirations that he's having, and things that he wants to do, and people he wants to bless, and places he wants to go, and things he wants to say. And they're not feeling him. Why? Because they cannot think outside of their box. They cannot think about where they are. They cannot think any further than where God has them at this particular point in time. And what we're going to find, brothers and sisters, as I read to you today, we got to be a little bit more careful about that. Would you turn with me to Daniel, the 12th chapter? Daniel, the 12th chapter, and verses 4. Daniel, the 12th chapter, and verse 4. And we're going to go a little deeper this morning. He says this. I'm going to give you a second. Daniel, the 12th chapter and verse 4. 12 and 4. And he says this. But thou, O Daniel, shut up. That's what he tells him. He said, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And then Daniel looked up, and behold, there stood another two, the one on this side of the bank and of the river, and of the other side of the bank of the river. Turn with me right now, one more time. Revelations, last book of the Bible, 10 and 4. Then we're going to get this plane off the runway. 10 and 4. Revelations 10 and 4. And it says this. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders utter, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stood upon the sea, and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. And I swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein, and the earth, and the things therein, the sea, and the things which are therein, that should be time no longer. But if the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. And the voice which I heard from the heavens spake unto me again, and said, go, take the little book which is open of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And when I went unto the angel, he said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto him, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up. And it was in my mouth, sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto him, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. So if I could use for a subject this morning, brothers and sisters, the gift of silence. Just because you know it, don't mean everybody else needs it. The gift of silence. Now when we look at it here, I don't know about you, but we live in a world today where everybody wants to announce any and everything. You know, they announced that they had a good meal at Texas Roadhouse. They announced that they got a raise. They announced that I got a job and I got this. And what we doing most of the time is that we're like Joseph and that we want to celebrate others. We want others to help celebrate us in our excitement for whatever it is that God has done for us. And typically, what we want is not a thing of malice. It's not a thing of prestige, but it's a thing of that I want others to feel the way that I feel about what I just got. I want others to feel about the situation that I just walked into. I want others to be able to support me because maybe I've been that person who supported others in the past, and I've been with them in places, and I saw them through things, and I'm just so happy that God has now gotten them to a place that he can do some things for them. And I seen them when they were before. I seen them when they had nothing and God blessed them with everything. And I saw them when they started out this way and now God has made room for them and he's opened up and he's expanded their capacity to give and their capacity to love and their capacity to go to the next level. And in all these things, that was a good thing. The Bible said that we are overpowered by the power of our testimony. But how do you know that comes a time in your life that God starts to show you some things and he starts to share some things with you and I that everybody's just not going to be privy to, amen? That he starts to share some things that you and I, that he's telling that you and I, that the people around you are not ready to handle exactly what it is. We used to have this saying, say, can you handle the truth, amen? And sometimes the truth of the matter is somebody can't handle the truth. And everybody around us cannot handle exactly what God has put inside of us. And we see here that Joseph was in this place. And Joseph was in a place that God has already instilled greatness inside of him. And he's already told him what he was going to be in. And he was telling Joseph for Joseph to be encouraged to know that some things were going to come. And there were some places and some things that God had to take him through. But there was going to be a place that God had him that no man was going to be able to remove him from there. If God opened that door, that was going to be a place of prestige and honor that he was going to be there. God was going to make him be the man that he needed him to be. But Joseph in his exuberance and Joseph in his tenacity and Joseph in his celebration and wanting to feel everybody to feel. See, Joseph just a good old boy here. Joseph just one of those ones that he ain't trying to be better than anybody else, but he was just so excited about what God was doing in his life. And he was so excited about what God was showing him. And people didn't see the way that Joseph saw it. How many know that sometimes that people don't see you the way that you think you see yourself? And see, Joseph just saw himself as a person who was just sharing what God was doing for him. That he was thinking that, well, God was doing this for me, and I don't know what he's doing for you, but if he's blessing me, then he certainly must be blessing you, amen. That he's doing this for me, that he certainly must be opening up doors for you. But the truth of the matter is that everybody's not doing exactly what you're doing. And the truth of the matter is everybody's not praying exactly like you're praying. And the truth of the matter is everybody's not living exactly the way you're living. And it's not because you're better than anybody else, but you choose a life of holiness, that you've chosen a life of sacrifice, that you've chosen a life of morality, and it cost you something. And since it cost you something, that God is there, and he says that, well, I got you, that I'm going to show you what you're in, amen. Because the Bible tells us that we prophesy not in fullness, but we prophesy in part. And since we prophesy in part, then that means I know things in part, and I have to hold on to him to know that this is why we walk by faith and not by sight, because he showed me the end of the movie, but he didn't tell me exactly how I got there, amen. And now we find that Joseph, what is Joseph doing is, he's telling his story to everybody who will listen. How many of us have found ourselves in places that we told some things just too soon? See, I remember as my wife was pregnant and she was pregnant with me, man, I wanted to tell everybody, but she had to school me real quick. It's like, Peter, I know you want to tell people, and I know this is a good thing, and I know this is a thing that's gonna bless our family, but that there's some things that we just gotta hold on to for a little while. Why? Because it has to be the necessary time. It has to be the necessary place. And because what? This can cause more harm for us than it is good. And that which is good right now, if it turns bad, and if it doesn't turn out the way that you said it's gonna turn out, if you don't do what it is that you think it's gonna be, then what's happening now, we gotta go back and we gotta explain to people, and we gotta relive things over and over and over again that we didn't necessarily live if we just learned to shut our mouths. How many times have your mouth got you in trouble? Not that it's a bad thing, but sometimes it's just the timing of a thing. So she told me that, well, we gotta wait at least like three to four months and make sure that everything is going good, and this and that. You know, by this time, then you can share it and you can tell others. Why? Because we didn't want to be in a place that if something happened, and now we gotta explain it. My wife would have to live that pain over and over and over again. Because people will be people, and people ask questions for sometimes the sake of just wanting to know, sometimes out of sincerity, and some of them just being nosy. But now I got to explain this time and time again. Now you find what Joseph here, all he did is what? Tell his brothers about his dream. He's told them what God had set for him. He's told them what he believed God was going to do for him. And now the brothers, what? They're envious because they see what he knew. They know what he could do. So what they knew, they have purpose in their hearts that they're going to block. Oh, come on, somebody. How many of you know that sometimes there are people that will try to block your blessing? And the truth of the matter is that they can block it, but they can't stop it. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, y'all with me today? That they can block it, but they can't stop it. And what we find is that Joseph's brothers, the Bible tells us as we read on, that they decided to throw him in a pit. And from that pit, Joseph becomes a slave. And from being a slave, then Joseph lives in Potiphar's house. And then he goes from being in Potiphar's house into what? The dungeon of the kingdom. And then he goes from the kingdom back to what? To being with Pharaoh. So there's a process, and who knows if Joseph would have kept his mouth shut, if Joseph would have kept the dream to himself, who knows if Joseph would have went through what he's gone through. See, brothers and sisters, there's some things that God has put inside of us. Some of it is for an appointed time. Some of it is for us to wait to an appointed time, because those around us cannot handle what God has given us. That some of those around us cannot stomach that which God has given you. He's told Daniel here. So Daniel here, why does Daniel come in the picture? Because Daniel in Revelation and John in Revelation. So you have Daniel. Daniel is what? A prophet of God. And God is speaking to him about end times and end situations. And he's giving him and he's trusting him with some things that he's wanting to show him, to let him know that I have a plan of redemption for you, Daniel. I have a plan of redemption for my people, but they're not ready for it right now. Because great is the mystery of godness, amen. And he said, sister, if you notice, you see the word mystery of godness, it means that what? That it's a plan that he's yet to unveil to us. And the reason he has unveiled the plan to us is because we are not able to handle the truth. We're not able to handle the plan. Why? Because we're not in a place of reception. We're not in a place that we can understand. We're not in a place of faith. So what did he tell Daniel to do? Shut up. The Spirit told Daniel what? Shut up. So now what? Daniel's quiet about this thing. And now we flip on over to Revelations, and now we have John. And John is having a dream. And John is what? End time revelation. So whether you know it or not, the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation give you all the end time revelation you want to know. Amen. So they are basically the same book written at two different times. You know, Revelation is in what? The New Testament. And Daniel's in the Old Testament. So you have the prophet of Daniel talking about the end times and the things that he saw. And then you have in John in Revelation talking about the end time and the things he saw. And the Bible said, what? There was the seven thunders that spoke to him then. And the seven thunders started to prophesy to him and show him end time things, to show him things that were going to go on in the world. And he told him to what? To not write it down. See, I remember when I was in fraternity, we always said the most important things never are written down. You know, we had little things that we would go through and things that we used to have to learn, and they had us little write little stuff and all this stuff, but that meant nothing. As a member, I can tell you that means nothing. You find a little book, yeah, you'll read some stuff, but it means nothing, because the important stuff, we never write it down. It's passed from person to person. It's moved from person to person. So the Bible here, he tells them what? He tells them, don't write it down. Matter of fact, what he do? He said, look, you see that scroll that's in his hand? That book that's in his hand, he tells him to do what? To eat it. If you go back and you read in Daniel, you hear Daniel talking about what? Eating it, talking about what? God's word is what? Sweet to the mouth, but sour to the stomach.
Why is it sweet to the mouth and sour to the stomach? Yes, because we want to proclaim the things of God. And I want to tell people and prophesy to folk that you're going to get houses and you're going to get cars and all this stuff. But the truth of the matter is sometimes that thing that's in my belly that I got to carry, that thing that's in me that I got to walk around with, it's eating me alive because I know if you don't get yourself right, that you're going to bust hell wide open. I know that if you don't live in holiness, that hell is going to be your home. I know that if you don't get filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, that hell is going to be your home. I understand that. That's the thing that holiness is still right even though we're in a day and time where people don't want to preach it no more. I understand that you still, that adultery is wrong and fornication is wrong and getting to homework and stealing and killing and all these things are wrong. And we don't talk about these things today anymore because they're not cliche and it's not politically correct to say them, oh God. But those are the things that I carry inside of me sometimes in silence. But when the opportunity comes to speak, and what I'm understanding, and I'm hoping that you get to understand that some of these things we just have to walk around with until the appropriate time. And you know what? It's like the Bible said what? It's like fire, Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. He talks about what? It being what? Raw to his belly. The word of God is so powerful when it's in us. That's why he tells him what? To eat. What does he eat? It's eating the word of God. It's sweet when you receive it, but sometimes it burns to walk that thing out. I don't know about you all, but sometimes living straight and safe, sometimes it's a struggle. My flesh want to do some things. It was good when I got the word that I'm going to go to heaven. It was good when I walked into it that God is going to bless me. He's going to open up doors for me, and he's going to keep me, and he's my provider, and he's going to make sure I'm not sick, and he's going to make sure that I have everything I need. But then on top of that, I got to live a certain way. And that don't always feel good to my flesh. When I have to make some discipleship and decisions, when I have to make some discipline in my life, when I have to tell myself no, when I got to tell myself get up and pray, when I got to tell myself that my flesh desires this and it may be good in a time, but I can't have too much of this. The silence of carrying that faith. So you ask yourself, well, why is it a gift if it's all this? Number one, you carry the truth for a while. It's not always. There's a time he told him to eat it, but that was going to be what? A time. He said there's going to be a time that he's going to reveal these things to the prophets. There was going to be a time that these things are going to come forth. It's not that God don't want you to say things, but it's at the right time. And if you look out throughout the Bible, timing is essential. You and I got here off time. Your parents got together at the right time. You can't get pregnant all 30 days of the month. It's a timing thing. Timing is essential. Your heart beats on a rhythm. Timing. You walk typically on a rhythm. The cars drive on a rhythm. Your engine in your car works off a rhythm. We call it timing. So timing is essential in everything. And God, what he says, outside of time. Number two, why is this a gift? It's a gift that what he chose you to carry it. It's a privilege to carry something like this. See, so often what we don't realize is that we got this, but we don't realize the privilege it is for us to be able to carry this gospel. Because everybody's not going to qualify. Everybody's not going to qualify to carry this thing, y'all. You got to be living a certain way. You got to be talking a certain way. You got to be walking a certain way. Everybody can't carry this. So those who are carriers of the light, it's not that, you know, when people see us as people of God, sometimes they say, look like y'all don't age. That's because we're carriers of the light. It's not like they don't ever get sick. That don't mean we don't. But just because God has what? It's a light that we carry. So y'all might get those kind of compliments. I know I ain't the only one. Why? You know, I look at my classmates I went to school with, a number of them dead already. And most of you could say the same thing. And the ones who ain't dead look like walking death. But then you walk into the room. Because God has told you, you carry the light. So it's a privilege to be able to carry this. Number three, it's also a sign of trust. Do you realize that God trusts you? He trusts you with his truth. He gave it to you. He told you to take it, eat it, and swallow it.
See, I remember, I don't know about you, but you remember a couple of years ago they had this movie called The Book of Eli, and it caused a little controversy in the beginning. So everybody, you know, I didn't really get the whole controversy of it. But, you know, and I'm sorry, I'm about to give you a spoiler for those who may have never watched it. But at the end of the story is Denzel Washington playing this character, and he's supposed to have the last known Bible in the world. And when we get to the end, what we find out is that the Bible was actually not even written in words. It was written in Braille. It was written in Braille, if I remember correctly. And in particular, they got the Bible, and these guys, I guess, who act maybe as, you know, this is fictional, as devils or whatever, and they got the Bible, and they were celebrating that they was done. And what we find at the end of the story is the character of Denzel Washington reciting the Bible line per line, precept upon precept, verse upon verse, chapter upon chapter. And somebody was what? They were transcribing that which he was saying. See, brothers and sisters, when he told us to eat that word, that's what he's telling us. There may be a come time, day and time that you don't get your hands on the Bible, but I can't take out what's inside of you. That which roars in your belly, that which you've eaten, that which God has made it. Why is it sick to my body? Because my flesh don't like it. He said what? Eat it. He told Daniel to eat it. He told John to eat it. It tastes good, but my body don't like it. Why? Because this thing is made of flesh. And the Bible says what? Until we die, we war in this flesh. Every single day. So when you're feeling something in your body, you're like, well, maybe I'm not saved today. No, baby, it ain't that you ain't saved. It's just that you got to make a decision. We all there. Whether you've been saved 20 years or 1 year. Do you hear what I'm saying? And every single day, I have to make a conscious choice that I'm not going to do this today. I have to make a choice that I'm not going to walk. And if I do, then I have to get back as soon as possible to say, Lord, forgive me for what I do and keep moving. Because what happened with many of us when we do fall, and we all fall sometimes, is that we get into a place that what we feel that we get in self-pity, and then now we in self-pity, we don't move any further forward. And when we get in that place, we're not moving any further forward, what happens is now you get the weight, what they call the weight of condemnation. And the weight of condemnation does what? It pulls you down further. And you say, well, I've already done one. I might as well go ahead and do two. And then three. Then four. It's just like that bag of chips. Y'all remember Lay's just had that bag of chips? You can't just eat one. My wife told me last night, I said, baby, I'm going to eat one or two of these chips. And she said, no, Peter, you ain't the whole bag. I said, no, I'm not. I stand here today to tell you I ain't the whole bag. Do you see what I'm saying? So you got to know your vices. And because you know that's your vice, then you have to learn to work, strategically work around it. If I can't eat the chips, then I can't buy it. If you know you can't be around certain people because they make you feel a certain way that you can't control yourself, don't go. Your soul is worth more. That temporary pleasure. See, when I go to the doctor next week, and he's like, well, you didn't lose, but you didn't gain either. And I'll be thinking about them chips I eat. Was it worth it? In the moment, yes. But these are the kind of decisions we make, and we deal with all the time. And this is the same. I know it's comical, but these are soul issues too. Am I going to sleep with him, or am I going to sleep with her for this moment? I'm going to take this money, and I'm gonna put it back, and then something else happened. And then something else happened. Now I spent God's money on something that I never intended it to go that far. None of us never intend for it to go that far. We never do. But things what? Keep happening. And things keep happening. The devil knows our vices. He knows how to exactly come at us. And we have to be what? The Bible said we cannot be ignorant towards his devices. So, sign, reason why, what? He's trusting you to carry it. Because people see you and they know you and they look and they like, what is different? He's trusting you to carry it. Take that seriously, that he's trusting you to carry it. So at the end of the day, what we're looking at is this way. That God has put these things in us, that we're to carry them. Sometimes they're not going to always taste good. They're not going to always feel good. But be mindful of the Spirit. Say, Lord, when am I to speak about this?
Lord, when am I to shut up about this? Sometimes I just need to be quiet. Sometimes I need to be quiet. And I found that in myself, in my thinking, because I had this thing, I live life out loud. I have a pretty public persona. I've always have, you know, because I've been in leadership most of my adult life. You know, I've gotten used to living in what they call the glass bubble or whatever. Don't bother me. But what I'm finding out is that sometimes people are using things that you have for good or things that you had to support and help others. And they're taking the Bible, as the Bible said, don't let your good be evil spoken of. And we have to be careful today, brothers and sisters, that our good is not evil spoken of. No, you went in there to do this, but it came out that you did this. And sometimes you can step in a place in a thing and be doing all the right things, and somebody said, and it goes out that you did all the wrong things. And it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. You know, and I end on this note. We saw last week, you know, when you know Kobe had died. Right? And Gayle King did an interview the other day. And I don't think she came there with a personal malice. I think she was trying to do her job, but she probably said a little too much more than what she should have said because of the timing. Notice what I said now. We talked about this timing. And it was not so much what she asked, it was the timing of it. Because from what I understand, I was talking to my wife this morning, the man's not even been, technically been buried yet. The coroner just released the body last week, and you got a wife who's dealing with two losses at the same time, who's still a very young woman, and a very public figure. And you got all these other circumstances, and then a person who, by the world, seems to be very beloved, and now you do something like that. So now what do we see? Something that would have been okay maybe 8 months from now, or a year from now, now it's getting her crucified at the stake. But not only that, now we see what? Even after that, now people are coming to her defense and they're saying things, and now you have this whole new war that started just because somebody didn't shut their mouth. One person could have shut their mouth and everything would have been different. And I know you said, well, it's only me. But put you in the right place, right time, right platform. We see it all the time. Things change quickly. How many people have we known to get famous overnight because they're saying silly stuff? Cash me outside. Back then, I know the girls of viral sensation made money off of it. Mm-hmm. Y'all remember that little silly stuff. I'm eating my McDonald's. Back then, I know the man and everything. They selling McDonald's commercial with him. The man with the golden voice, he got caught out there. And all he was doing was panhandling. He said, I had a radio voice. The guy heard him. Next thing you know, the guy had another job. I mean, I'm just giving y'all an example, just coming right off the top of my head. And you saying that your voice don't matter. These were people, by most people's accounts, they really want anybody. You know, dude said, I saw a man in the bear over there. I knew someone, right? Next thing I know, you all over the place. How'd your kids, how'd your wife? We know, these are now what? Household things that everybody knows. From ordinary people who have to be in the right place, right time, and they open their mouth. And what I'm telling you is that you have the same power. Maybe God is going to use you to get our president to look at things a little different. Maybe God is going to use you to get the superintendent in the schools to look at things a little different. Maybe God is going to use you to get the CEO at your place to look at things a little different. Maybe God is going to use you to change your community. But what you have to do is remember that what? You are carrier of the light. And as you carry it, then you speak what he tells you to speak. And you say no more, and you say no less. Because we as believers have to be in a place that we speak truth to power. If not, what's the point? We might well join everybody else. If we're not going to be a called out people, if we're not going to be the salt of the earth, if we're not going to be used the way he said he wants to use us. He said, what profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? What would profit you to get all this stuff? And the one thing that God put you on here on earth to do, you didn't do it. And I ask myself that every day. That's my number one fear. That I died and I didn't do what God called me to. You know, I love my family. I love my children, my wife, and all these things. I love my career, my job that God has blessed me with. But at the end of the day, I lay down at night and I want to say, God, please don't let me leave here and not done the one thing that you put me here to do. If that's inspire people, Lord, let me inspire to the best I can do.
If that's to motivate, let me motivate to the best I can do. If that's to teach, let me teach to the best I can teach. And I'm suggesting to you that you ask God the same thing. Lord, what is it that thing that I'm here to do? Lord, don't let me leave here and not do it. Because you allowed me to be born here so that I could do it, because the world needs me to do it, and I have to be in place. So everything that you're going through your whole life, everything that you're going through now, positioning, stuff you've been through, stuff you've seen, it's just preparing you for that moment. I don't know what your moment is. You don't know what mine is. But he tell me what? Be ye also ready, because nobody knows what the day or the hour that the Son of Man shall return. And we're to eat that thing, and you know what? It was sweet. It's sweet to everybody else when they see me walking around. It's sweet to everybody else when they see I got this, but they don't know the bitterness that I have to, that I endure of getting up and working for that thing. See, people see that, oh, you got this, they got that. They don't see you out there in 120 degree heat out there cutting all that grass for what you got. That's the bitterness. That's that thing in the belly. They don't see you up 2, 3 o'clock in the morning working on those projects, logging in when you want to be in the bed beside your husband. They don't see that. They don't see how you sit up there and you're driving up and down trying to find things at best prices so you can sell. They don't see when you up there preparing for those lessons every day so these kids can be great and they can score well on these tests and they can be better citizens. See, those are the parts that people don't see. They don't see when I'm up at 4 o'clock and I want to make sure that I'm home every day so I can make sure I get this time with my daughter and kids, because I know that the window is very short and it's not worth it to me to give all this other stuff and not miss and miss that time with them. We got decisions we have to make. It's sweet to everybody else. All they see is, ooh, you got the house on the hill. But they don't know the bitterness of the work. And if that's one thing, if I were there saying that, you know, people learn from Kobe's life is, and it was sad they had to wait till he died to see that, really see it. The man put in the work. I'm asking you, are you willing to put in the work? God has given you his spirit. You got the faith. He said, what? You only need the faith of what? A grain of a mustard seed. You got that. He said, this is what? A measure. You got a measure of faith. What you going to do? Are you willing to put in the work? I know it don't taste good. I mean, it don't feel good in your belly. It ain't going to feel good. It ain't going to feel good in your flesh to tell your flesh, nope, we can't do that. No, I can't have that. No, I should be quiet right here. But you know, as they used to say in the street, said, loose lips sink ships, right? That's what they used to say, right? And there's a time and a place for everything. Don't get me wrong. But when the Spirit is talking to you, we got to pay attention. And know that what there's a gift inside, because everybody don't need to know everything about you. God bless you all. Love you all. I hope that this message has been a blessing to you all as we go forth on this day. And I'm just so grateful.